in this additivity context. First, quantum states is represented as a Hermitian operator of a positive semi-definite Hermitian operator of a choice one in trivial space. And
we need a pointer?
Yes, that's
there, there's the hockey stick.
So positive semi-definite Hermitian operator of choice one. And we use two notations in the following. D of H is density operator of H, and D of H is bounded linear operator on space H. So this is this part is basic. So I start. So because the Hermitian operator have first one, by using spectral decomposition, we have this expression. Here, this is eigenvalues of quantum state. Because the trace of quantum state is 1, we have probability distribution here. Next, we are going to define quantum channels. Here, we take two spaces, H1 and H2. Then think of operator algebra on these spaces and take a linear map between two spaces. And this linear map is quantum channel if it is completely positive and trace preserving. Completely positivity is defined as follows. Take any space, think of a product of phi and identity on the operator of Hilbert space K, and if this product is positive, then this phi is completely positive. So this is the definition of the channel. If map is completely positive, we have this cross operator representation. AK is a map from H1 to H2, and phi is trace preserving. If and only if this is true. And keeping this relation in our mind, we see a picture of quantum channels. So first we had n cross operators, and we form some isometry from this original space to the bigger space. The dimension of A is the same as n. This is isometry because if we make a conjugate of this operator, then if we make multiplication, we have this summation, then we get identity again. So this is isometry. And so quantum channel can be written as follows. Mega conjugation by this isometry and take trace over this additional space. Then we recover original space. So taking partial trace over A means just taking this diagonal blocks. So this is the original chapter. And this corresponds to some picture using environment. So quantum state, a quantum channel is, suppose we have input rho, and we make a product with the environment, then we make a conjugation by U. And this unit of operator corresponds to this isometry. But here, environment is not explicit, but we can describe quantum channel in this way. This is a slide. If we take partial trace, not on A, but on H2, then we get another genre. This is called complementary or conjugate of original genre. This genre was investigated by these people for the first time, independently. So now, let's introduce phenomenal entropy and Shannon Pino. For classical information, we had Shannon entropy. Shannon entropy is defined on probability distribution as follows, minus sum of pi log pi. Likewise, we can define von Neumann entropy on quantum state. This is also the sum minus sum of lambda I log lambda I. This is also probability distribution. And the Shannon Pino is defined as follows. Just take eigenvalues lambda I and sum over lambda I to P and then again this normalization. Then we get Shannon Pino. Important point is that this entropy concave function. And this norm is convex function. So convexity implies triangle inequality in norm, triangle inequality for norm. So now we define two important functionals. So we define noises of the quantum channel.
Good question. The conjugate channel that you defined two slides ago,
yes.
How non-uniquely is that defined?
It's not uniquely, but uniquely up to asymmetrically. So,
are all the definitions equivalent up to a unitary on the second system, or are there non-unitarily equivalent conjugate channels?
We have some original system. Then we, by using asymmetry, we bring this structure to bigger space. So we it's possible to make another. We can use another space, putting this structure by asymmetry. Then we can recover original channel, but this construction is not unique. But this part must be asymmetric, not isomorphic, not unitary, but asymmetric. So then we think how noisy quantum channels are. So one natural class of measures is that how close can the output be to a pure state? This is, for the minimum output, entropy of phi is defined as follows. Think of output of rho and measure them by von Neumann entropy and think of the minimum over all density operators. And the second one is measure outputs by Pino, then think of the maximum over all density operator. These can measure how noisy quantum channels are. Next, I introduce Hodler capacity. Hodler capacity is defined as follows. Take probability distribution and quantum states and think of this subtraction and take the maximum over all ensembles. Ensemble is probability distribution and quantum states. And by using this Hodler capacity, this is also called one-shot capacity. So by using this channel again, again, and regularize over by n, and take limit, then we get classical invention theory. I'm going to introduce the additivity of Hodov capacity, the conjecture, additivity conjecture of Hodov capacity later. If additivity is true, then this part is constant chi of phi. So classical capacity can be written in very simple form. So I introduce conjectures. Suppose take two quantum channels. The additivity conjectures of minimum output entropy is as follows. Minimum output entropy of the product phi and omega is the sum of two minimum output entropies. And multiplicativity conjecture is that the maximal output phinon is the multiplication of two optimal values. And this conjecture had been, this equality was thought to be true for p between 1 and infinity before a counterexample was found by Hodov and Wang. This counterexample was called a Wang Hodov channel. But so because of this counterexample, this conjecture is now thought to be true only for p between 1 and 2. And finally, this is additivity conjecture of Hodov capacity. I'm going to tell later, but 1 and 3 are equivalent. This equivalence was proven by Shor, and the conjecture 2 is stronger than these conjectures 1 and 3.
So, are people interested in the conjectures 1 and 2 independently, or is it only because of the connection to number 3?
As for me, this construction, this setting is very simple, but it is impossible to prove at the moment. So mathematically, I'm interested in. But this is also equivalent to this problem. So in terms of invention theory, it is also interesting. So
I think you said that you're interested in mostly just as a purely mathematical problem.
That's why I try to solve this problem. But also, it's a mixed. Logically, this problem is very interesting because this is equivalent to this problem, and this makes something clear about classical capacity over quantum charges. But on the other hand, this problem interests me mathematically. Just I feel it is interesting.
Okay,
it's a mixture.
So you don't know if other applications of it.
These 1 and 2 and 3 are equivalent to additivity of entanglement formation.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so, I'm going to talk what is the point of this conjecture. So before going on to the point, I go back to the entanglement. So we have two pure states, and the first one is a product of two pure states, but the second one cannot be written in that way. And the first one is not entangled, and the second one is entangled. And formal definition is as follows: take a state rho, and rho is not entangled if it is written by a convex combination of product states. And having this in mind, we claim that this direction is obvious. So a minimum output entropy of the product is, by definition, this. And if we get rid of entangled state, we get this inequality. And by using concavity of Hodov entropy, then this is the same as this. But this is same as this. So by using this calculation, this direction is obvious. The point is, if this inequality is strict or not. That is, if we use entanglement, can we improve this optimal problem or not? This is a problem of additivity conjecture. And in the same way, this direction is obvious. So basically, when we try to prove additivity conjecture, we try to show the opposite direction, the opposite direction here. So this is a global picture. Now I introduce additivity of Holoca capacity, additivity of minimal output entropy, and the multiplicativity of maximal output pinot. And we also have other conjectures as subadditivity of entanglement of formation, additivity of entanglement of formation, and these four are all equivalent. This equivalence was proven by Shor and Kumaransky, and this equivalence was proven by Shor. And apart from that, Kumaransky, Ordinat, and Bernstein also made a good contribution in this relationship. And the multiplicativity of maximal output pinot is stronger than these conjectures. This is obtained by derivative. And this is the superadditivity of convex closure of output entropy. I'm not going to give you a definition, but if some of you know this definition, I briefly mentioned that if you replace a quantum channel by partial trace, this is the same as this. So this conjecture is stronger than this conjecture. Anyway, so we have this global equivalence. Global means so additivity. If additivity of Holoca capacity is true for all quantum channels, then it is also true. It is the activity of minimum output entropy is also true for all quantum channels. It means that, there is no individual good relation between these conjectures. So before going on to my result, I introduce some definitions. A quantum channel is called by stochastic if the channel maps a normalized identity to normalized identity. This space can be defined here, but when these spaces are the same, by stochastic channel is called unital channel. Then theorem one, take a channel omega and additivity of minimum output entropy of all by stochastic channels would imply an additivity of all quantum channels. I'm not going to introduce all proofs, but I briefly introduce what's going on in the proof. So basically, we take original channel here and think of a new channel, 5 prime. 5 prime is a channel from this bigger space, from the original space. And here, D is a dimension of H2, and we form well operators in on previous space H. And this channel, 5 prime, is by stochastic channel. So this stochastic channel, so we have good relation between the original channel and the by stochastic extension, 5 prime. So the good relation is as follows. So minimum output entropy of the product of 5 prime and psi is same as the minimum output entropy of the original channel 5 product psi. So for any channel psi, if it is true, then this is true. So minimum output entropy of 5 product omega is the same as this. But we assume additivity for any bistochastic channel. So we get this summation here. But this equality is true for all quantum channels phi. So when we think of the case when the dimension is 1, minimum entropy of phi prime is the same as minimum output entropy of phi. So here we get additivity. So the next we make this statement stronger somehow. So the statement 2 is that if the conjecture is true for all unitary channels, then the conjecture is also true for all quantum channels. So next we construct a new channel, phi double primes. This phi double primes maps from this big space to this big space. And D is the dimension of H2, and C, here, small c, is dimension of H1. So these spaces are same. And this is also bistochastic, so this is a unitary channel. And for this channel, we always have this nice relation. So we can prove this statement from the theorem 1. So far we fixed the channel omega, but if we fix the channel phi again, then we get this statement. So if we prove additivity for any two unitary channels, phi u and omega u, then it will imply that additivity for all quantum channels. And this method also works for output maximum output pinhole and convex closure of output entropy. I did not introduce the latter, but this works. This argument also works for these two conjectures. But this argument does not work for Holleberg capacity. But if we read Schwarz's paper in view of this construction, then we can prove that additivity of Holleberg capacity for all unitary channels is would imply additivity for all quantum channels. So before going on to that topic, I explain what I did so far. So first we have this channel. And this is a normalized identity here. But this is not always bistochastic. So we extended this Hilbert space, the bigger space, D of C to D product, D square product, H1. And in this big space, we have normalized identity here. And this new channel phi prime maps this normalized identity to this normalized identity. And in the corollary, we extended this space to B to C, CD product. Then this space also has normalized identity here. So double prime maps this normalized identity to this normalized identity. So this is a picture of this construction. And this idea is inspired by Schwarz's paper. Schwarz proved additivity of Holleberg capacity implies the additivity of minimum output entropy. And in this proof, I extended his method to construct explicitly quantum channels, which implies these results. So remark, so these methods can also work for multiplicative B of Pino and phi prime AB by stochastic extension, and phi double prime is a unitary extension of original channel. And so next I'm going to go on to the topic about holodeck capacities. So take any channel phi and omega, and suppose we extend these channels to phi prime and omega prime, then we have this nice relation. So here, additivity of minimum output entropy is equivalent to the additivity of holodeck capacity. And this, likewise, we can prove this formula for phi double prime by using this fact. So here we have a local picture. This additivity is equivalent to the additivity of this product, and this equivalence, this additivity is also equivalent to this unitary channel, the additivity of unitary channels. And by using this theorem, we have this relationship. These are equivalent, and these are equivalent. But this the additivity of holodeck capacity is isolated. We have no relation between these two. But if we prove additivity of holodeck capacity for all unitary channels, then this is equivalent to this additivity problem. So additivity of holodeck capacity for all unitary channels implies additivity of minimum output entropy for all quantum channels. Then by using global equivalence theorem, we can prove additivity for holodeck capacity additivity of holodeck capacity for all quantum channels. So we have to go around back to the original problem, but we can prove this. Why this discussion is important? Because so to see why this is important, I introduce results we obtained so far. So first we introduce results for unitary channels. So first, unitary qubit channels. GTV was proven by King as a depolarizing channel and a transpose depolarizing channel, and they are all unitary channels. And next, we also have results for non-unitary channels, entanglement breaking channels, and some class and another class. And but this entanglement breaking channels is not properly quantum channels, because first, roughly speaking, entanglement breaking channels breaks entanglement, they break the difficult problem. Entanglement breaking channel can be written as a sum of I here. We make measurement here, and we get probability distribution. So this is classical information. Then we put this classical information onto quantum state. So this entanglement breaking channel is it can be thought of quantum classical quantum channel. So we have classical information here. So additivity problem is easy for this class of channels. And another class, this class was found by me, but this result is totally depend on his result. I extend his result to this class of channels, but to prove this class of channels, they use symmetric structure. So still, this is just extension of the result of the polarizing channel. And this class of channel also introduce some, makes some class of non-linear channels, but the technique they use is very restricted, then we can't extend this result anymore. So basically, we can say, to prove additivity, we need, so far we can say to prove additivity, we need some symmetric structure to use somehow. So, conclusion. So to prove additivity conjectures about quantum channels, we can focus on unitary channels. And the statement is, additivity for unitary channels would imply additivity for all quantum channels. So if a counterexample exists, then some counterexample must exist in a class of unitary channels. So in any case, we can focus on unitary channels to investigate additivity problem. And the next step would be find a good example in unitary channels. And the candidate is web covariant channel. And this is some people say Pauli. Pauli. I think that some people say generalized Pauli channels. But they are all the same. Briefly, I explain this this channel because we have, I think we have time.
I did something else.
So in the proof, by using this proof, we understand that. So suppose this is a set of quantum channels, and this is supposed to be a set of unitary channels, and suppose we have qubit channels. Then any qubit channel has some correspondence in eight dimension. And these additivity problems are equivalent. But as long as minimum entropy is concerned, this is not written in my paper, but we can reduce this number. I use the summation of z square, d square, because the number of z corresponds to d square. So this summation is, the number of summand is d square. But to construct by stochastic channel, we don't have to use all well operators. So suppose we are given phi, then we get some fixed output for, suppose, suppose phi normalized identity is say sigma. So sigma is diagonal for some in some spaces. So if we form, so we think of permutation in the operator which stands in K to then we think of we get normalized identity here. So we don't have to use all square operators to construct this bi-stochastic channel. By using this fact, actually, for qubit channel, we don't have to think about the D over A. If we think about D equals 4, there is some correspondence again. And additivity problems are equivalent. But I use this slide because by this construction, we also can see the structure of this relation. And basically, this so for specific purpose, like for example, d equals 2, it may be useful to think about d equals 4. But by this by the original construction, we have very symmetric structure. So the original construction may be better in some way, and this construction may be better in some way. So I use the original construction, but then I introduce what is web operators. I think I have time to do it. Sorry, I don't have slide. Suppose we have some basis CK, and well operator is defined as follows. So suppose we have two operators, mu. And we form well operators for two numbers. And this well operator has this property. This is this property, and this is also property. Also for that property. And because the dimension of operator space is d squared, so when operator span or operator space. So
x and y are
integers. Sorry, yes, x and y is between 1 and d minus 1. And this is where operator span, the algebra of operators. And also they also have orthogonal property. And where covariant channel is defined. We can define linear map by this formulation. We can define linear map over the algebra operators. And of course, we have linear some constraints on C, this constant, but this is a basic construction. But anyway, so we have this property here. So this is unitary, and this is a and without loss of generality, unitary qubit channels are all this class of channels. And the additivity has been proven. So, for example, Ruskaya and Nathanson try to generalize this proof on the subclass of these Webern channels, but still far from as a complete proof. Thank you very much.
Do you have any more questions?
I apologize if this is a question that you answered and I missed it. You've shown that for the purpose of computing these additivity conjectures, we can just consider unital channels. We can take any channel and define a new channel in a different space that has the same properties, essentially, but is unital. Is that a fair interpretation?
What is last
have I described it fairly?
Okay, well, what is the point? What is the question?
Oh.
The last part. I missed the last part.
Given any channel,
yes,
we can define a new channel,
yes,
which right. has the same properties as the initial channel in yes. some sense.
In some sense, yes.
But it's unital.
Yes.
So I guess I want to ask your opinion on a much stronger interpretation. I mean, this is probably not implicit in your work, but what's your opinion?
Okay.
That we could basically understand, we could, for many problems, take any channel and define a new channel between the same input and output spaces that is unital, that has most of the information theoretic properties of the initial channel. Is that too strong in a statement? Is making the systems larger a crucial and key part of this process?
Crucial key part.
Yeah, a very important ingredient in what you've done.
Just because by this construction, this by that double prime has the structure of phi within it. So, in another sense, unitary channels in higher dimension can have complicated structure in it. But on the other hand, so far, we don't have any clue for the proof for additivity. So, if we make this kind of relation, then we can use the property of unitary channels. So we don't have to waste time. Just we can use one additional condition. So that's the point. But in higher dimension, channel can have complicated structure or in lower dimension.
Sorry, I've been confused by your statement that the first item, the unital qubit channels, can be described by what you wrote over there.
Ah, this one.
The while operators.
Yes. This is called also generalized power operators. So we think of power operators. In two qubit channels. Then any quantum state can be written by this representation. And by in case we need adjustments, this is a by work by Blue Sky and King and someone. As long as activity conjecture is concerned, we think of this, if we think of this case, say some concern here. This is a real numbers. Then, with the loss of the energy, we can concentrate on this class of channel. But this class of channel can be described by this relation. And this is the same as that construction in higher dimension.
So BK is a real number or what number?
This is a real number, yes. Because in proper sphere, the coefficient are all real number. In qubit case, we can focus on real case in a sense, using the proper sphere. But in higher dimension, so if the dimension is more than 2, we have to struggle with complex numbers somehow. So this is a difficult point in when the stretch is when these.
Thanks very much.